You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is Stephanie Lee. Stephanie is a digital marketing strategist. She used to be the editor at bodybuilding.com, and she's done any number of things in print media, online media. And we are going to just ask her to pull back the curtain and learn more about how you can leverage media to build your brand. But first, let's welcome Stephanie.
Hey, Pat. Happy to be here. Hi, everyone.
Well, hey, we're thrilled to have you here. And, you know, I know we're going to jump into some of the stuff that I know you and I have talked about separately that can really help somebody build their own brand. But what I'd like to do first is get into your backstory. How did you get into the whole health, fitness, more specifically health, fitness, media realm?
Yeah. Well, the health, fitness actually came later, but my entire background has always been in digital publishing. And that generally means just like being in major publications, writing articles, getting them published in the greater wide internet. And I actually started off, I would say, my writing career as a editor at a video games entertainment website, because that was one of my other hobbies aside from fitness. So I actually wrote and played video games for a living for a while, and that was something that a lot of people told me they envied me for, and it was great. But in school, I actually studied clinical nutrition, and it turns out I didn't really like the public health sector too much, and so I didn't want to go down that path. But with my background in IGN.com, that was the video games entertainment website, as an editor there and understanding how kind of these big publications worked, because for that industry, IGN was a titan. They reached like, 80 million readers a month. So, you know, it's kind of a big website. And so I understand kind of all the, I guess, inner workings, the cogs that happen behind the scenes. And so bodybuilding.com, which is the fitness e-commerce slash like content site, was interested in my publishing background at IGN and also my fitness and health background. So that's kind of how I segued into bodybuilding.com and then into the health and fitness industry, where I am still, in a way, working with a lot of fitness professionals.
So let's talk a little bit about your experience at bodybuilding.com and maybe kind of how that experience shaped the direction that you've gone today, or at least influenced it one way or another.
Yeah. So one of the things I did at bodybuilding.com, I was an editor there, but more than that, I worked with a lot of fitness experts, you know, like yourself. And one of the things that occurred to me was that, you know, a lot of these fitness experts obviously know a lot. They're experts in their niche, with their clients, certain things like exercise science, whatever it is. They're not always great at communicating that expertise, or at least writing it in a way that is relevant to the reader, you know, who's a layman and not as knowledgeable as the expert. So that was one of the things I noticed from being an editor there. Had to work really closely with experts, just kind of like really drilling into their head, being like, what do you mean by this? You got to dial back the jargon and the language, like you have to simplify things, so on and so forth. So that was kind of like, I guess, one of the triggers for where I've transitioned now, and which now I work more closely with experts to kind of distill their ideas into articles that make sense and can be published on like a mainstream outlet so that they can reach like a wider audience. Being in that capacity, working with these experts and seeing firsthand that they have trouble kind of communicating their expertise, because they're so used to writing, I guess, for their peers and on their blog, they don't really think about or consider what the reader is going to take away from it. They're just kind of focused on what they know, right? And at that point, this is what I call the curse of knowledge. They don't know what their readers don't know. And so I feel like there's just kind of this disconnect between what they know and what they would like the reader to learn about. So that's kind of, I guess I step in there to help bridge that gap and help them really simplify their language so that's more widely appealing, if that makes sense.
Wow. When you talk about that, that's funny because even when I talk to fitness professionals about just their marketing message, the way they approach selling, the way they approach improving compliance, I mean, it really kind of ties back to a lot of the same kind of overarching theme there is me asking them to not get so caught up in kind of viewing things through their lens rather than, you know, instead of maybe viewing it through the eyes of the client or the prospective client and not falling in love with the exercise science jargon that they're so proud to use because maybe in some cases it makes them feel more like an expert or something. But that's pretty interesting to me that the same challenge that I see there is some of the same stuff you're experiencing with these guys as writers. So, wow. So that's just as a side note for me, that's pretty interesting. So you left bodybuilding.com and then today you're doing more of the consulting side of things. And in some cases now, even with the new course that you're rolling out, Right for Impact, teaching people how to employ writing as a tool to build their brand. So tell us more about kind of the stuff that you're doing today, the impact it can have, and then I'll probably ask you for some tips for the listeners thereafter.
For sure. Yeah. So when I left bodybuilding.com, I still was in the health and fitness space. I was still writing about health and fitness. And so I guess the other transition from bodybuilding.com to where I am today, I did a lot of freelance work writing for places like Lifehacker, New York Times, GQ Magazine, Men's Health, writing about fitness. And so I guess you can say I'm always in the trenches of like doing this stuff myself so that I'm, you know, better informed on how to help, you know, clients and other experts who want to be on these platforms too. And the other thing was I also was editorial director at Personal Trainer Development Center. And so that also gave me more insight to fitness professionals in general. So when I coach now and kind of the segues into the course I've created, one of the things that I guess one of the main things I want to help people realize is that, especially in the fitness industry, and I see this on Facebook all the time, there's like a lot of snark and derision for fitness experts that might be preaching something that, you know, you or someone else wouldn't agree with. But at the same time, what they're preaching is in a big platform. So they're reaching a huge audience, right? And it's a huge audience that's reading their expertise, that person's expertise, even if you don't agree with it. And I see these posts all the time, like say someone, a fitness expert will post like, I don't know, a Food Babe article or like a Dr. Oz article and like really blast that article. But the fact of the matter is, Dr. Oz and Food Babe is being heard while like real science or, you know, another point of view or angle is still invisible to the wider audience or wider general public. So this course that I've created, it's an 8-week course, is basically designed to help experts, aimed at experts who want to do things themselves, want to figure it out, want to learn kind of the process behind writing for publications and that sort of a thing. And then just kind of help them dial back on their sort of, you know, they have blinders on, they have tunnel vision, they don't know what the audience doesn't know. So I help them kind of step it back, take their ideas, and then help them position it in a way that not only helps build their brand and their kind of their credibility for their business, but also in a way that appeals to both the audience of whatever publication they want to be on, but also appeals to the editor of that publication. Because you were talking about tips on how to write for these major platforms. One of the big things is not only do you have to think about the editor, you have to think about their readers. So you have to convince both. You have to make sure your article can speak to the reader, but also has to convince the editor that it's going to be a benefit to their readers. Because after all, they're kind of like the gatekeepers. They look out for their own readers. They want to make sure that what you're giving them is going to be of immense value to their readers, not just because you want to write it. That's all they're looking for. They don't care that you want to write it. They don't really care that you know a lot about XYZ. They just want to know that you're giving a lot of value to readers. And so that's one of the things I really focus on in the course. And then helping the expert, the student, match up their ideas with the right publication, because not every publication is going to be a good fit for you. Even if, you know, even if you think it's like, I really want to be on GQ, but maybe it's not a good fit, you know, maybe it's because you work with busy working moms. So GQ obviously wouldn't be a good fit. And then just kind of walking the expert through how to talk to editors, how to find editors, how to build relationships with editors, because part of the process here with writing for publications is that you're not just writing and just kind of getting your name out there. You're building these relationships with your readers, first of all, but also with the editor, so that if they're working on a story or they have an assignment that they need to give to someone, they're going to think of you because you're an expert in, I don't know, like eating disorders. So if they have something that they're working on related to eating disorders, they're going to think of you. And if you build that relationship, you'll always be top of mind. And then kind of like, so basically the A to Z of going from idea all the way to getting your article published and all the things I've learned in like the last decade of being in digital publishing.
Very cool. So, I mean, you already shared some powerful stuff there. Are there other tips, other kind of takeaways, be it for people's own writing on their own blogs or newsletters or posts that they're sharing through social media, or getting in front of editors, anything else that you think would be valuable for the fitness professional, the fitness business owner, that they could take away and use now?
For sure. I would say the number one thing you can do, even if you're not writing right now, even if you don't have an idea you want to write about on a publication, that's fine. What you want to be doing even now, like in the meanwhile, is to start talking to editors. I would say you do this by either creating a Twitter account, if you don't have one already, and then getting on Twitter and then talking to these editors. You don't even have to say anything formal. All you're doing is saying hi. Anytime they tweet about a story, anytime they tweet about their whatever they're talking about, like sometimes they talk about their personal lives, sometimes they talk about work. But what you're doing is you're just engaging with them because you want to treat them as a person. They're not just like a content farm person for you, you know? You don't reach out only when you need something. You want to continuously build that relationship, continuously just talk to them so that when it comes time to pitch, it makes it so much easier to get through their inbox, because most editors' inboxes are basically like, you know, a dumpster fire. They're just unusable for the most part. There's just so many people vying for their attention, always asking for something and pitching and that sort of thing. So by going through Twitter and talking to them normally, like over a period of weeks or months, when your name shows up in their inbox, they're going to be more likely to open your email and maybe respond to you. So I would say that's the number one thing you can focus on right now. And it doesn't take that much time each day. I would say 15 to 20 minutes.
That's savvy and useful all at the same time. The whole dig your well before you're thirsty approach. I like it. Any tips on improving someone's quality of writing? And I know you touched on it early on about, you know, not necessarily using a lot of jargon or anything along those lines, or anything else we want to add?
Yeah, I would say two things that I see a lot. So the first thing is that before you even start writing, get really, really clear on what the intent of your article is. Like, what do you want the reader to take away from your article? That's the most important thing. Because what I've run into a lot is a lot of these fitness professionals or just experts in general, they just start writing and writing and just kind of, you know, word vomiting. And it doesn't lead anywhere. And the reader, me as the reader, is reading it and confused as to what I'm trying to learn and take away from it. So get really clear on the intent of the article and what you want the reader to take away from it. And then the second tip is to simplify your writing. Like, if you can say something in 8 words, say it in 5 words. Basically, don't fall in love with your writing. Don't fall in love with using fancy words. If you can say it better and more simply and more straight to the point, do that. It's just more effective that way.
Awesome. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, writing is something that I'm passionate about, though, you know, I mean, I'm sure it would be, my approach to writing could probably be hacked to shreds by anybody who is savvy when it comes to writing. But I know how much just sending a daily email has impacted my business. And I know how much benefit things like contributing to trade publications and, you know, online sites that are very industry specific have really helped me grow an audience early on and then reach new people on an ongoing basis. So I am a huge advocate of using writing to build your brand, to build your platform. So with that in mind, do you mind sharing where our listeners can learn more about you and, you know, whether they are looking for a, you know, private type of consulting or even more specifically this 8-week course that we touched on earlier?
Yeah. So I'm at stephanielee.me, M-E, that's my website, where people can find more information about me. And then if they want to reach out to me to, like, say, hey, or whatever, they can find my email there. I'm also on Twitter at superlee7. I encourage, if you're interested in being, you know, like getting published in a platform, major platform, you know, talking to an editor at some point, I highly encourage you to be on Twitter. Say hi to them. Say hi to me. Actually, I have a 7-lesson email course that people are welcome to sign up for. It's absolutely free. And it kind of delves into a lot of things I discussed with you, Pat, and more so kind of the things you don't want to do, the mistakes you want to avoid when you're talking to editors, kind of like the number one complaint that editors get. So if people are interested, they can sign up at stephanielee.me/free-lessons for that kind of 7-lesson email course, kind of goes into the specifics of the course, but also things that people can immediately apply.
Awesome. Well, we'll have all of that in the show notes to make sure that you guys can not only, you know, check out the email course, can learn more about Stephanie, but also I strongly encourage you to take a hard look at the 8-week course that she's put out. I mean, I can't tell you guys how much impact the various ways that I've employed writing has had on my professional life. So any sort of professional training on that sort of thing that allows you to maybe shortcut some of the things that either I've not figured out myself or took me forever to figure out. I mean, we want to buy speed, right? So this is probably as good a way as you can do that as I would know. So thank you for making some time for us today. Thank you for adding some powerful takeaways. And then also for putting together some education and insight that people can use to build their platforms, to build their brands, and to have more impact. So thanks a bunch.
I really appreciate you saying that and just for having me on the podcast.
My pleasure. And guys, thanks again for tuning in to this episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.